scripture reading this morning is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 12 and 13, and then 1 Timothy 5, 19 and 20. The 1 Peter listing is from last week, and I do apologize. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 13, and then 1 Timothy 5, 19 and 20. Let us hear God's word. Reading first from 1 Thessalonians. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them to the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And then reading from 1 Timothy 19. 1 Timothy chapter 5, 19 and 20. Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. Those who sin are to be rebuked publicly so that others may take warning. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we are so inadequate to hear and receive your word, and so we ask for your intervention that you would send your Holy Spirit and that Christ would be uplifted before us. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. If you can, remember your first couple of days in kindergarten. Your first couple of days in kindergarten. And you might have been first introduced to some of these rules in kindergarten. But these are some of the basic things that we learned in kindergarten that we still do today. What about wash your hands? What about say please and thank you? See, you still do those things today. What about if you need to talk, raise your hand? And then the last one, respect older people. Those are just some of the basic things that we learned in kindergarten. And one of those is a basic lesson that we should learn in the church. Respect your elders. Last week we looked at the responsibility of the elders to the congregation. This morning I want us to look at the responsibility of the congregation to the elders. And so what is one of the first things that we can say about the congregation's responsibility to the session? Well, the first is really quite obvious. You need to pray for your elders. You need to pray for your elders. When you pray, heaven moves. When you pray, it's not just an exercise in futility. No, something is going on that we can't actually understand, but that our prayers actually move the Holy Spirit to bring about God's will in our life. In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is telling us about a terrible boat trip that he had. And that he and his companions felt like they were under the curse of death. But then he says this. But these things happened to us that we would learn to rely upon Christ and not ourselves. And then he adds this. And as long as you help us by your prayers. Delivering the Apostle Paul from these dangers came about because the church was praying for Paul. Deliverance from satanic attack, deliverance from bad providences can come about when the congregation prays. And so we are to pray for our elders because they are the ones who hold the keys to the kingdom. They are the ones whom Christ has put over you. And so we need to pray for them. Second thing in how the congregation can respect the elders, Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. You see, the elders' work, it is an honorable work. It is an honorable work. Why is it honorable? Because the king that they work under is an honorable king. And they will be judged. They will be judged much more severely than others in the church. The president of the United States, he is held to a higher standard than the janitor. The elders are held to a higher standard than you. But when you respect your elders, you're respecting their king. You're respecting Jesus Christ. For it is Jesus himself who has put these men over you. Have you ever thought about that? We go about church elections and we nominate elders and elect elders. And so that's what we see. But in reality, what is happening is that the Holy Spirit is, in a sense, tapping out these men to serve for several years. And if people do not esteem their elders, then they are not esteeming Jesus Christ. You know, in our life, when an ambassador is attacked, we take it as an attack upon the president. Well, in the same way, when you speak maliciously against your elders and show disrespect for them, you are in fact attacking King Jesus Christ. In Exodus 16, when the assembly in the desert began to grumble against Moses, Moses, he sets the situation straight. He doesn't want them to be confused as to what's happening. He wants them to understand exactly what is happening. And Moses says this, "You're not grumbling against us, but you're grumbling against the Lord, because it is the Lord who has brought us out into this desert. It is the Lord who has brought us into this difficult situation. So therefore, to grumble against Moses and Aaron, it is because you're grumbling against God himself." Even Jesus, in talking with the Pharisees, he respects their position because they sit in the seat of Moses. And he tells us to respect those people. But he says, do what they say, but do not do what they do. Again, he says, he who listens to you, meaning to the apostles and now the elders, he who listens to you listens to me. And he who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Jesus clearly shows us that any disrespect towards the leadership in the church is a rejection of Jesus as well as God the Father. That is why even the Apostle Paul and Jesus tell us to respect those people in this position, but don't do what they say if they're hypocrites. Now, if the elders are clearly going against God's word, then you have a responsibility to confront them. Let me say it again. If the elders are clearly going against God's word, then you have the responsibility to confront them, and you confront them with the word of God. If you believe the session is being disobedient to the word of God, and God therefore has outlined a procedure in Matthew chapter 18, we talked about that in Sunday school, God has outlined a procedure in Matthew 18 whereby you biblically are to approach and talk to those in sin. But if you don't use this procedure, instead you create your own procedure, then you are showing contempt for Jesus Christ. But when you respect your elders, then you respect King Jesus. Thirdly, because Christ has given these men this authority to rule over you and to guide and direct you into God's word, therefore, your responsibility is submission and obedience to the decisions of the elders. It is the duty to shepherd you into the love of Jesus Christ, that you may honor Christ with your life. Therefore, you should never say, well, it's none of your business. Or, you're meddling into my life. Well, let me ask you this. Is your marriage, is your family, is your business, is your schooling, are they the concerns of Jesus? Of course they are. But Jesus doesn't come knocking on your door, hey, I want to talk to you about what's going on at work. No, he doesn't do that. How does Jesus confront you with all these aspects of God's word? He does it through the session, lovingly, patiently coming to you and talking with you. Back in old Scotland, there were what was called communion seasons, okay? There were times that the kirk, meaning the church, would gather together. They would come from far different distances and would gather in one place. And for a time, there would be preaching and there would be the sacrament of communion held. But one of the things that happened first, before the communion was actually observed, the elders would come to each family and inquire as to their spiritual well-being. They would talk to mom. They would talk to dad. Dad, are you treating your wife right? Mom, are you submitting to your husband's authority? They would talk to the children. Are you being obedient to your parents? They would go through some catechism questions. All right, can you explain who we believe Jesus is? Fully God, fully man? Are you saved by your good works, or are you saved by the mercies and graciousness of Jesus Christ? So there were theological and biblical questions that were thrown out to each individual, to each family. How would you like for the elders to do that today? But once that process was completed and once the elders were satisfied, that you could take communion, they gave you a token, a little piece of metal, a token. And on the day of communion, as you came forward to take communion, you and everybody else in your family had a token, meaning I have been examined by the session, and they are fully confident that I should come to the table. If you didn't have a token, that meant that your life was out of order. What you believed was out of order. And so you were not allowed to take communion until all those boxes were checked off. That is the responsibility of the session. To so shepherd you that you have the right answers, that your life honors Christ, and that in all things you are desiring to do Christ's will. You know, it's not the work of the Holy Spirit to reject the teachings of Christ. It is the work of the evil one. We see this example in Moses dealing with Pharaoh, when Moses rebuked Pharaoh for his sin. Pharaoh replied by saying, "Who is the Lord that I should honor him and let you go?" When Jesus rebuked the Pharisees, he did so by confronting them with the Word of God. It's very interesting about the arrest and the trial of Jesus. Do you know that Jesus submitted to the trial because of the Pharisees were sitting in the seat of Moses? And that meant that they had authority to examine Jesus as to his claims, as to who he was. Jesus didn't mind that. He submitted to that because he recognized their authority. But then when they began to beat him, then they had moved from having the authority to question him on his teaching to sin and disobedience by beating him without any authority and without any evidence. Before, Jesus answers their questions. But when they begin to beat him and go against God's word, he shuts up. He doesn't say anything anymore. But before, he did respect their position. If there ever comes a time that the elders have to inquire into matters that you may deem private, understand that they have a commission by God to do the very thing that they're doing. Not to humiliate you, but to show you God's will in this area of your life and to draw you to be reconciled to Christ and to your brothers and sisters. To resist this by saying, "Well, you're meddling in something that's none of your business." First off, it's not biblically correct because it is the elder's business. And second, it's an indication of a bigger problem, the problem of a prideful heart. Lastly, you need to shut your ears to the reproaches cast on the elder's character unless there is sufficient evidence to support such accusations. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. Those who sin are to be rebuked publicly so that others may take warning. Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. You know what that means? You don't talk about it. People in the congregation, you don't talk about it. You don't gossip about it. Because there is nothing to prove your gossiping to be true. You do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. There has to be two or three that actually know what the elder has done. But when there's nobody that knows it, and somebody just comes up and says, you know that preacher down in Sandy Plains, Greg, I think his name is, you know, he's a dirty old dog. Your response is to not repeat anything. To be quiet. You don't talk about it. You don't gossip about it. Because that is the way the evil one starts the fires of hell burning in the congregation. In Matthew 18, we are told about how to go about handling situations like that. And Matthew 18 tells us that if you have something against someone, then you go just privately and talk to that individual. Maybe there's just a complete misunderstanding. Maybe sin has been committed. But you go and you talk to that individual and you be reconciled. Keep it between you two. If that doesn't work, then you take two or three witnesses with you. Witnesses who know the situation, who are eyewitnesses of the situation. And you confront that person. If they won't listen to you, then you take it, guess where? To the session. The session has the authority to make decisions over the lives of people in the church. The session has the authority because they hold the keys of the kingdom. They have the authority to remove people from the role of the church because their life and their doctrine is not right. I remember one situation, and I was just right out of seminary, so I didn't have a lot of wisdom, and I would just sit and listen to what was happening. But this happened in an ARP church many, many, many years ago. There was a lady who was consistently accusing the pastor of being unbiblical. And at first, the pastor was very patient, but the situation began to escalate until it started to affect the entire congregation. This is Satan's way. So the lady was called before the session, and she was allowed to speak, and the elders heard what she had to say. But it was very clear and clearly, very quickly, that her charges against the preacher were proven to be false. And if anyone was being unbiblical, it was her. Well, the session confronted her. She refused to repent. She refused to be reconciled to the elders. So what she wanted done to the preacher and that be getting him to leave the church, was then done to her. The elders excommunicated her from the church. The Lord honored that, and the church has continued to grow to this day. The commandment of Paul to not entertain an accusation against an elder is important because the elders will always be objects of Satan's fiery darts. Satan will always try to stir up trouble in the church and discredit the leadership of the church. He will always do it. He did it with Abraham. He did it with Isaac. He did it with Jacob. He did it with Moses. He did it with King David. He did it with King Solomon. He did it with Jesus. He did it with the apostles. This is Satan's way to accuse. That's why Jesus calls him a murderer, and that he accuses. He is constantly accusing the elders and everybody else. He is constantly accusing them of sin. But Christ steps in and protects us. You know, we are really a blessed congregation. Oh my goodness, we are a blessed congregation. I've been here almost 25 years, and we just have never had church splitting problems. And why is that? When you have good, mature Christians, male and female, who can handle problems with each other in a biblical way. You love each other. But two, the congregation, for the most part, has always trusted and respected the leadership. Is the leadership perfect? No. But guess what? Neither are you. We are a bunch of sinners brought together by the Lord to help us and to teach us to love one another and to love the Lord. Remember, we don't live in a democracy where many people get to decide what's right. No, we live in a monarchy, as I talked about last week. We are ruled by an all-powerful holy king, and his name is Jesus Christ. He has established the way his church is to be governed. Therefore, we are to submit to his directions and not our own. What pleases Christ is that the church prays for its elders and supports the work of the elders. And by doing so, we display our love for Jesus Christ. Let's pray.